welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello and welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hi.
Hello. How's everyone?
I'm good. I'm just trying to see if Andrew's going to go first.
Going to preempt you even.
Yeah, because he's preempted you. He finally got to the stage
where... He's working his way up the order.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, I'm just seeing if he's going to do it first, if he's just going
to... I'm going to keep you guys guessing.
What would happen if he got to the top?
Hi, I'm Andrew.
Oh, he's done it.
Well, this is your show now.
He is now the alpha male. All right, hectic. Well, I'm Simon.
I'm Dole, if it matters.
And welcome to the Andrew Kerr Show.
Yeah.
It's really good to be here.
I had a bit of a... sad moment yesterday.
Okay.
I'm on the lookout for moving house, and this comes with packing things away. Things
yes.
that I didn't really think about having to pack away for a while. And things that I should probably not even own in the first place, because I'm becoming a 30-year-old man this year. But these are small, colorful plastic things for kids.
Okay.
I'm talking Lego. Talking Toy Story toys.
Okay.
Figurines, should I say. Sorry, collectors out there, figurines. So I got this big crate to put these things away in.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that it was quite a lot like the plot of the third Toy Story film. Not the whole plot, but there was no kind of gas-fired trash compactor sad ending.
And I'm guessing at no stage were the toys ever alive.
No, it did stray from the plot quite a lot at that point.
I mean... Because, if anything, that's the main thing of Toy Story, is that the toy is alive.
I don't know. It depends what you look for. I'm more interested in the human characters. So I was faced with this thing of packing these things away, much like Andy is, although he's 18 at the time.
Yeah, no, he's
as
a lot
I said, turning 30, no, so it's a bit sad. Sadder, in a way, than the end of Toy Story 3.
Yeah, totally. I mean, he's... You know, more than 10 years younger than you. But yeah, I mean, continue.
So I put them in the crate, and then I started piling in the Lego, and only realized as I was doing it that this was very much like a burial. And all the Lego was loose, and these toys were in the crate first, and it was like scoops, handfuls of loose Lego falling down over their faces, obscuring them one scoop at a time. So I think, like, if anyone's listening out there and is involved in future Toy Story films, if you want to get a cool toy burial scene going, you just have somebody pack their loose Lego on top of the Toy Story toys.
Now, if I'm correct, Toy Story 3 ended with Andy giving his toys to someone else.
Yeah.
Is that how the story ends? Is you
for
pack,
me?
Yeah. Did you pack away, give it to Molly or somebody?
I'll put them in a crate and stick them in the roof or something like that.
All right. So I mean, they're nothing like Toy Story 3. Is essentially
what we've except established. For the sadness.
Every sad moment in life is akin to Toy Story 3.
Yeah.
Sob Story 3.
Fair enough.
Yeah. That's what I got up to.
I've recently realized that something that started as a fun thing that I would do has now become a habit. I've started pulling hairs out of my beard just as like a fun thing to do while I'm watching TV.
How is that a fun
TV.
Thing to do? That's isn't that really painful?
It's not super painful. There's a bit of a painful element in it, but like sometimes...
Enjoyable pain.
Yeah, sometimes it like falls into that category.
It's like low-level acupuncture.
Yeah.
I think it's low-level sadomasochism.
Yeah, that too.
Or it might be. Now I realize that that's probably like an unhealthy habit that I've developed and now I need to stop, but I'm afraid it's too late.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not too late. You still have hairs in your moustache. Like, it would be too late if you were absolutely clean.
Okay, all right. So this
is not too late.
Because you'd move on to nose hairs and eyebrows then.
Yeah.
Once you get through the moustache and beard.
Yeah, that's no good. And having no eyebrows. No one can tell how happy you are.
I don't have a habit like you.
Yeah.
So I'm not, like, looking to go to rehab or anything.
Yeah.
But I have been known to pull out the odd beard hair. But what I find is that I end up getting like a little sore or pimple at the spot where which then deters me from doing it in the future. The pimple tends to stay for a number of days and it's uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, I mustn't do this again.
It's all about the prized thick one that for some reason is way thicker than all the others.
Well, that's why it started, the twig.
Yeah, the twig. It looks like some kind of an insect's leg.
Yeah, a good old tree beard. All right. I also think it's unfair that in everyone's life, it's the bad habits that get noted. No one ever really talks about, oh, I've got all these good habits of mine that I just can't stop
patting
doing.
Your belly as you say that. Is that a good habit of yours?
No.
Eating habits?
No, I've got tons of good habits. Okay, let me think. I flush the toilet normally once I'm done. That's a pretty good habit.
I think that can't fall into good. It's got to be falling onto default.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, you get people that don't, so it's definitely a good habit.
Who doesn't?
There's some people that pay attention to water restrictions, and so they're saving water by letting things mellow that maybe should not mellow.
They could say that that's a good habit.
No, but it's a smellier habit.
Try another one.
Okay, all right. breathing. That's a good habit. I learned that as a kid, and I haven't stopped.
Not in control, though.
Not a habit.
Okay, all right. How about I'm quite good at brushing my teeth. Does that count as a habit?
Yeah,
because I never used
to
be good at it, and now subsequently I've learned the benefits of oral hygiene.
You mean good at actually while you're doing it, like your process is good, or good at remembering to even do it in the first place?
More good at remembering. I don't really know if my process is anywhere on the scale of goodness. It's
I don't know what my process is, but I go through toothbrushes way quicker than I think normal.
Yeah,
people
I
do.
Kind of I put the toothpaste on the brush.
Oh, here we go. Yeah.
And then that's it, isn't it? I just walk away.
Then you start picking the bristles out of the brush individually.
No, and then I kind of let it, brush against some of the teeth, and then that's it. A lot of people do this whole, oh no, it hasn't counted unless it's for like half an hour or something. And I just, no one has that kind of time or that kind of like,
I think it's 2 minutes. Two
minutes?
Yeah. A minute on the top, a minute on the bottom.
Think about all you could be doing in that time. Could be making noodles.
Yeah.
I mean, classic way to spend 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I used to have a thing that you stuck on the wall in the bathroom that had, I think, Daffy Duck or somebody. Okay. And it was like this plastic thing. And then where their hand would be was a little clip to hold your toothbrush. And where the other hand was an egg timer. Where I assume was meant to be turn it over and then brush your teeth for that long.
Yeah.
Soon became how quickly can you brush your teeth? And so I think the whole point of it was lost.
Interesting that they used a character that has no teeth to encourage you to brush your teeth.
Right.
Hmm. Well, that's the thing is that she used to have teeth and she didn't brush her teeth. So she got no teeth left.
Daffy Duck.
Yeah. Daffy Duck's a woman now.
Interesting.
Did you say Daphne?
No. Who's Daffy Duck?
Isn't there a Daffy Duck?
No.
When has there ever been a Daffy
Who's
Duck?
Who's Daffy Duck?
Daffy Duck. Who's Daffy Duck?
Yeah.
I mean,
am I thinking of
Donald
Duck.
Daffy Duck again.
Daffy Duck is the African-American duck that Warner Brothers used to have.
You know, his mouth often gets blown off to the side and then he turns it back.
Okay.
All right. Whereas Donald Duck was a Disney counterpart.
Right.
Donald Duck's less intelligible.
Yes.
Daffy Duck's more despicable.
So like what's that cat? Sylvester.
All right, so you'll be Daffy, I'll be Donald. Let's have a conversation. Okay.
That despicable.
Okay, got it.
Got it.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Nice.
Well, I have a very disturbing story that happened to me in the recent past.
Uh-oh.
Look, breakfast it's an important meal.
Mm.
Okay.
Suddenly you don't feel as scared for the story anymore.
Yeah,
this is going to be hectic.
I thought you killed a guy, but it doesn't sound like it's going like this.
And
yeah, it is a good, important meal.
Yeah, and so breakfast is an important meal, and I eat it daily. And
good habit.
It is a good habit. And one morning I was pouring out my Jungle Oats Energy Crunch Muesli.
Okay.
Down the drain.
Well, no, into a bowl.
Sure.
And this came out of the package.
All right, so this is not really helpful for people that are,
I'll show Dylan as well.
But let me describe it before. We'll show Dylan now, but if I don't describe it at this instance, there's people listening that are in the dark for ages.
No, I know, but it builds the anticipation.
Does it? I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, think about how well Sketch Show is working.
I need to show Dylan so you can describe it together.
It looks like a dried rat poo.
You haven't put a coin down for scale, so it kind of looks like it could be a giant log or a meteor.
So I'll tell you the scale.
Apologies, people at home. Don't write in. No. Yes, Andrew has chosen to talk about
three centimeters long.
3 centimeters. Is it a piece of biltong?
That is exactly what it looks like. It is not a piece of biltong.
Did you eat it?
No, I did not eat it.
Why?
What was the cereal originally?
Like a Jungle Oats Muesli Crunch or something.
Muesli.
Well, maybe if you'd bought muesli, it would be normal. The cheap knockoff.
Are you sure that wasn't the crunch?
Crunch is a piece of bark.
I eat a lot of the cereal.
It's a piece of bark from deep in the jungle.
No, I eat a lot of the cereal.
Yeah.
And so I emailed them and I said, I'm normally very happy with my cereal, but this morning I found something strange and unappealing in my Jungle Energy Crunch Muesli granola.
Yeah.
Okay.
Photos attached. This is not up to the standard that I expect. I was disappointed, not angry.
Gracious.
Okay. How did you convey? Do you have any like frowny faces or
no,
happy
I was,
faces?
I took this very seriously. I didn't want to make enemies. I just wanted to show them that I was disappointed and that I expected more of them.
But that's a hard tone to get across in email because people, I think, assume that you are angry got into that stage.
Well, I ended the email, regards, Andrew. Not kind regards, which is my usual term.
Okay.
So I would have had to email them saying something else, saying kind regards, for them to know that. But you know, it's like
a pattern.
Yeah.
If you were being very honest with us, were you hoping for them to send you a bunch of free cereal?
Absolutely.
And have they responded?
Well, then they did respond with an incredibly long email explaining and basically passing the buck. Apparently, it's residue of the actual product. So,
it's edible and fine.
No, it's not edible. I don't know if it's edible, but there's no health risk.
Okay,
well,
so
that means it's edible.
Yeah, that means that they're encouraging you to eat it.
I wasn't going to eat it. Anyway,
they said
they would send me a voucher.
Hey.
Ooh, a voucher for what, though?
So I got what I wanted. So then I replied saying,
thanks.
Thank you very much. That would be very kind. And, you know, I thanked them for their swift response and their generosity.
Sure. Did you say kind regards there or just regards?
I said kind regards.
Oh, so now they know.
He's moved
now they
up.
Know that they were in for it.
Yeah. Then I got an email saying, we are in receipt of your kind email and I wish to offer you the peace of mind that I am glad to be of service to you. So I was pleased with that. They continue to go, I wish to offer you the peace of mind that our division is an internal division, blah, 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 blah.
Okay.
So they wish to offer me the peace of mind.
All right. Are you sure that then that wasn't the thing that was in the cereal? It wasn't bark. It was just a piece of mind.
Yeah, they're dropping hints here.
Anyway, the point is, I did get a voucher, and I went and bought some more, and so far I haven't had one of these things pop up again. And
lucky you. You haven't got an alien's foot coming out of your cereal.
The last thing I wrote in for was with my friend Lauren, and we were eating zoo biscuits, and the animals were very mushy. They weren't mushy. There was still like icing. It was firm icing, but it was very... They were vaguely animals. To call them iced zoo biscuits was, giving them unfair compliment. It was more like iced zoo excrement or something because it just generally wasn't that visually appealing. And so we got kind of crayons and we wrote with our left hands. Like, dear Baker,
what are you saying about writing with your left hand?
I'm not very good at it, unlike you. So it made it look like a kid was writing and was just like so upset about this that what's happened to the animals? They look sadder than usual. And basically tried to get a whole bunch of zoo biscuits out of it.
Regards, Simon Age 8.
Yeah. And I didn't get anything really. But to be fair, I don't think I posted the letter.
Yeah. Would you give it to your folks? And they know to buy you zoo biscuits.
Fun can be found in streeping around.
I want to bring up something that I think we've spoken about a number of times over the years. Movie etiquette / theatre etiquette.
Okay.
Because last week we spoke about how wonderful our time in the UK was and all these fun things. But we didn't speak about both Simon and I went to two different shows on the same night in the West End, not Westminster Abbey, and had bad theatre experiences.
It's true.
I watched The Lion King. Now, firstly, I was duped by one of these half-price theatre guys. Not in that he gave me something that a ticket that wasn't a ticket. It was just some toilet paper.
Here's a ticket to the King Lion.
Yeah. It's down there in that alleyway. But in that he was so friendly and so... I just really wanted to trust him when he said that the seat I was buying was a good seat.
Yeah.
And it turned out to be a crap seat. I was like halfway around the side. I could see into the wings from like the one end. I mean, I do like when I get a DVD, I like to watch the behind the scenes stuff, but I usually like to watch the film first. And then people behind me were literally talking on a cell phone to somebody. Like, I have a feeling the ushers don't really care about you that much when you're up on the side of the back of the cheap seats. But there were people, and I gave them the full head turn. Nothing out of that.
The glare. You gave them the glare. Was it a head turn and glare?
I do enjoy that because the longer the glare, the more adrenaline starts rushing through your body. Like, could I hold this glare forever? What if I held this glare? What if I followed them after the show? What if I drove home behind them with my lights off? You know, those thoughts.
Imagine doing the glare like for literally the rest of the show. I mean, you wouldn't have seen...
That is a waste of the pounds.
But like, or at least to hold the glare until the talking stops.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Well, that's what I did once, ever.
Okay.
When I saw Black Swan, I think.
All right.
There were some ladies behind who were chatting, yada, yada, yada. So I gave them the full turn. And they went, ooh, and gave me this face. And then I held it. And they're just literally just staring at these people like, you know, a head space and away from
wow. That stage, you turned into the Black Swan. Yeah. Well, I would just assume that people know by now, generally speaking, if something's on the screen or on the stage and it's what everyone has gathered around to look at,
yeah.
You keep quiet.
Also, it's the Lion King, the majesty of the Lion King on stage. How? I mean, I was breathless, speechless. How could people talk?
Well, that's why they get to put those things on the posters. It's not actually reviewing the thing. It's like, speechless, brackets. I can't believe they wouldn't stop talking throughout the production.
You'd think that they would have maybe a bit more etiquette in the theater. It's the, yeah. You know, if you say it like a pun, it's the theater. You should respect.
There's actual people. There's live people. Yeah. They can see you if you're talking.
You should respect the theater.
Yeah.
It's not like the movies. We all know the movies are going to be bad.
No, movies you can practically defecate in your chair and it's fine.
Wow.
And every time I go, I get fooled again. It's like a bad relationship. I think, I know it's going to be nice on the big screen, but really, is it actually going to be that much better than if I just sat close to my TV and no one was around? Because you and I went to see Batman v Superman.
That's true.
The other day, Dawn of Justice. Yeah. And there was, once again, a kid... just in front of me and just off to the side, he was talking to his friend the whole time. And I, in my head, throughout the movie, in my head, I wanted to have the gall to kick his chair. Because usually you're not in the position to kick the chair of the person behind you talking. Yeah. But he's talking in front of me. What a heaven send. But I didn't even do it. I couldn't bring myself to kick
the
chair.
Well, it's hard to do the glare when you're behind the person.
Say, yeah.
Yeah, the glare is particularly difficult.
Staring daggers.
You need to get a selfie stick and put your camera on. Put it in front of the person so they can see you.
That's a great idea. I did think about just... like kicking constantly his chair, and then if he said, oh, you're annoying me, I go, well, welcome to my world. Like, in my head, I was thinking of zingers. You know, there were some lulls in the film. It's 2.5 hours. There's time to think about zingers for these people.
I was more shocked that it wasn't just Batman versus Superman. It was Batman versus Superman versus a small kid that's 4 years old that somehow got in next to Dylan.
Oh, my word. I didn't even mention the cherry on top.
Some father thought it would be a good idea to bring their little tyke along.
This kid must have been 6 or something. It was ridiculous.
Oh, really?
He was kicking and moving around. You know, like kids. I'm not...
Yeah.
The kid is not at fault here.
Yeah, kid's allowed to do that.
This kid's very young and sitting right next to me.
Yeah.
And the father is next to him on the other side. So it's really me versus father, so where the kid is the versus.
Was it just kid and father?
So and another kid on the other side of him. Yeah. Who was, I think, just asleep.
On the other side, other people?
No.
No one?
No. So he had the wall.
So he didn't provide the buffer.
Wall, kid, father, kid, me.
And he didn't sit next to you?
No.
Wow.
He wanted to sit between because the kids probably went, oh, let's both have daddy. Yeah.
And they probably also went, this is frighteningly scary.
Yeah, this is a terrible film for a kid like that age. So they're constantly, the kid is kicking and fidgeting. Then he starts going, who's that? When's that going to fight? Who was that? I'm like, and I'm turning to this kid and then to the dad and giving like a slow, sarcastic head shake. And nothing's happening. He's not leaving with the kid. Like, realize after the first horrific moment that a kid should not have to see, these like dreamscapes of Bruce Wayne's stuffed up head, you know, that that he shouldn't be there and carry him out like a real dad should do. It's this guy's just like
strange. Like Batman would. Yeah. Ironically. Yeah. Or Superman. Awful.
And then the very worst thing about it all was that right at the end, we sat around for a while waiting to see if there would be an after credit scene, which there wasn't. But I was thinking, like, if this guy wants to leave before us, I'm just gonna sit here and not react to him while he tries to come past and like leave it till it's really, really awkward. And then we left before him. So bleak. Because I thought that's the only way I could get my own back is if this guy starts going, oh, sorry, I can't really get... Oh, sorry. Oh, inconveniencing you, am I? Welcome to my world. Do you guys do like emotional investment in music to the point that when a song plays and calls up memories, your skin feels like it's going to crawl off your body via the goosebumps?
Certain songs?
Or movies or other things?
No, not really. I wouldn't say it's from memories.
Yeah.
There are certain pieces of music or songs that I think are beautiful enough to sort of elicit that uncontrollable response.
The skin going.
But hardly ever am I hearing a song going, oh, I remember what it was like to be young. Mm. Ah.
Well, it happens to me more often than not, it seems. Like, I've got a very low threshold for becoming hugely emotionally attached to movies and songs.
Okay.
And today, I've got a CD change in my car. Ooh, look at me.
Ooh, fancy, fancy, fancy.
And often
Ooh.
You just go through the same
CDs. I bet you have dial-up broadband.
You just go through the same CDs over and over again until you get sick of them. So now I decided I'll change them. And I put in all the Alanis Morissette CDs I have.
Okay.
And put on the first track of the first one. And literally
crashed your car. Overcome by goosebumps.
My head felt like my skin was, there was too little skin for the top of my head. My hair felt all itchy, but like literally.
Well, this doesn't sound pleasant at all.
It's emotionally taxing to be so invested in these things. But anyway, I remembered something that happened that was quite funny in this first song. Which I can't even think of the name of now. I think it's All I Really Want.
I think it is All I Really Want.
Yeah, so there's a line in that song in the bridge that goes, why are you so petrified of silence here? Can you handle this? And it stops for a beat.
Yeah.
Now, we were once having a braai at my house, and I've got like a braai playlist.
Yeah.
The playlist literally called Gardening, Braaiing, Cooking. And it's got a couple of tunes that are appropriate for braais, gardening and chilling.
That's good.
And that part of the song came and I went, here, can you handle this? And then all the power shut out because it was Earth Hour. It was like the greatest timing of all time ever. The silence that just went on for over an hour. Comes back, did you think about your bills? Oh, yes, for a bit. And then I was trying to think about other things.
For all the time.
So anyway, that's good. Set, if you're listening, I love you.
Would you rather...
Welcome to Would You Rather. I'm going to be hosting it today, and I am kind of turning it on its head a bit.
How
what
so?
We've been doing is...
Wouldn't you rather?
Yeah. What we've been doing up to this point is that we've basically been playing against the internet, where whoever's answering has to say what the internet said. Now I want to add in the element of me. So you guys have to answer this. And you can say what you would rather, but then you have to try guess
what you would
what
rather.
I would rather.
Okay.
Eh? There you go. I'm like M. Night Shyamalan here doing little twists to the format. So Dill brought it up earlier and I thought it would be a good place to start. Would you rather be Batman or Superman?
Is this for all time?
What do you mean for all time?
Like sometimes it's like if you had powers for a day, if you had powers for a year.
This is for all time. And I guess it's up to you. I mean, you could be Batman and then just decide to kind of live like Bruce Wayne and never ever really put on the Batsuit.
You could, but I assume, I haven't read a lot of comics, but I assume that Superman has to constantly put his strength at bay for doing normal things. Otherwise, you'll end up in a Wolverine origin situation in a bathroom where everything's breaking around him. Because
that's interesting.
You know, if he opens a door, for example, and uses Earth strength, Krypton strength over Earth strength, is that door going to crumble by his mighty hand?
But like maybe he's...
In which case, it sounds like a lot of effort.
It does sound a lot of effort, but maybe it's like, you know, my good habit of flushing the toilet. Maybe just from time to time you get used to kind of that strength that becomes your new normal. Yeah.
True. I watched an episode of Supergirl recently. Yes, that's right. I watched Supergirl.
Yeah, you I'm say recently. The you've been watching it. All of it. You say it as if you've just dipped your toe and watched one episode.
Every week.
I'm going to ask you right now. You've watched it every week.
I just happened across episode 18.
No, you didn't happen across. You probably downloaded it purposely and watched it or stayed up to whatever hour it's on.
Yeah.
Because I'm guessing they don't put it on normal time.
I enjoy it.
Probably. That's like afternoon TV Supergirl.
No, it's not actually. It's quite popular. Well, crossover with The Flash. So that was good.
We'll see. Cross-dressing with The Flash.
So anyway, in this, I'm trying to get to the point that they showed a flashback of when she was a kid.
Oh, cool. Flashback. They do flashbacks in The Flash. How genius.
And Supergirl. So, and her dad gave her lead-rimmed glasses to thwart her X-ray vision, which would imply that without the lead-rim glasses, her X-ray vision is out of her control. So that is why I think that maybe Superman has to constantly be fighting the urge to be super.
Do you think he's constantly walking around Batman. Seeing everything X-ray.
No, because he's got lead glasses on.
But he is also super, and so surely that task should be easy for him as well.
When he's Superman, he doesn't have lead glasses.
So no, that's what I mean.
Yeah, no, but I'm saying, you're saying, you know, he has to fight this urge all the time, but he's super, so that urge is easy to fight, because everything for him is easy because he's so super.
I understand your point.
I think I would pick Superman because... Just for the state of mind, Batman seems to be incredibly down in the dumps all the time. It's always dark. Everything's dark. He's all gloomy and mopey.
Well, if the two of us have to pick one each, I think it works this way.
Yeah.
I'll be Batman.
I'll be Superman.
Okay.
But right. I think Simon would
be... That leaves
me
with Robin.
I think Simon would choose to be Superman.
Really? I think the opposite. I think Simon would be Batman.
Okay. I think he'd be Superman because Superman can fly.
Ooh, I like your reasoning. Okay, so... I can reveal. I would rather be Superman.
Oh.
Because Superman can fly?
Not because Superman can fly, but because of Lois Lane.
Oh.
I've always liked Lois Lane. All the different variations of her.
Not just when she was Amy Adams.
That chick from Desperate Housewives, I don't know what her real name is.
Terry Hatcher.
There you go. I liked it when she was Amy Adams. And
the cartoon version in the animated series.
Yeah, I mean, don't judge. So I like that idea of her.
That puts me up a point.
Okay, so what you're saying is that out of Superman and Batman, you like Lois Lane. I think that's what we learned
there. I think she exists in both universes because they exist in each other's universe.
I feel like I've been robbed.
Batman doesn't end up with Lois Lane, does he? No, he ends up with...
I mean, it's too soon
Catwoman?
To tell.
Who did he end up with? I think he did.
It changes a lot.
Yeah, but anyway, so I think... I also do think that I agree with Andrew. Like, Superman, generally speaking, is happier.
Hmm.
He seems happier to be alive, whereas Bruce Wayne just looks like he really gets up the wrong side of the bed every single morning.
He doesn't look happier to be alive in the latest on-screen incarnation. So, you know, you can only go by as happy as he is in his last film.
Well, look, the latest version of Superman, he pretty much
go too far here because I haven't seen it.
Well, he just looks perplexed throughout the whole film. I can deal with that. Kind of like he's hearing something in the distance, but never quite knows what it is. It's a bit like that. All right.
That's how I feel when the quiz starts.
So you get a point, Andrew. Sadly, nothing. All right. Would you rather have a nose on your belly button or a mouth under your arm?
Ooh, I mean, are these in addition to what we have currently?
These are in addition, so you would either have two noses or two mouths.
Is the mouth connected to any form of alimentary canal?
It would work the same way your normal mouth.
Does it connect somewhere along the line?
Yes, and you'd have some form of taste buds and everything in there. Like, so basically, I'm thinking the mouth is useful if you're sitting in... Remember class? You weren't allowed to eat in class. But imagine if you had like some snacks or whatever and you're just shoving it underneath your arm. There you go. Teacher wouldn't be able to see. And
well, it's clear which one you like.
Yeah.
I haven't really made up my mind just yet.
I like that because you could also sing duets with yourself.
Ooh, I didn't think of that.
Also, let's be honest, the further south the nose goes, the worse. It's quite well situated at the moment.
Yeah.
But now,
if it was on top of the head, that would be maybe one better.
So I get your reasoning. It seems like you're both going for the mouth. But let me quickly just remind you of something.
Yeah.
At some stage, the person you love or the friends you love are going to have to see this thing because it's on you.
Yeah.
Which do you think is less creepy and weird?
Sure, a mouth is creepy and weird because of the teeth. But a nose with a shirt over it will make you look like you've got a strange outie. And when people have strange outies, people point and they laugh.
But also, I mean, because I think it would be stranger. I think the nose on the belly button.
Yeah.
Would be less strange.
It would be much less strange, but it would be much less useful.
Think of an advantage. Like, is there some? If you were upside down in water, like dipped just with your head.
Oh,
like
you could
in a torture kind of situation.
Yeah.
People thought they were drowning you, but no, you've got this nose that's now upside down on your belly. Then I guess maybe I'd choose nose, but it's quite a specific occasion.
Look,
whereas on the other side of that. Asphyxiation coin. If you are You know, if you're eating, you could eat through your... You could. What I'm saying is that you could limit your breathing to one channel and limit your eating to the other, so you'll never have that, oh, I'm joking, breathe through your nose. I can't, it's higher up than that.
Okay, interesting. All right, well, has that changed for anyone? What are you going for?
Where is this under your arm? Like, as an armpit, basically.
As an armpit, basically.
Yeah, I'm still going mouth, but...
I want it, and Simon wants it too.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, you're correct. I did choose that. That's better.
Sweet. Did you make these questions up, or these existing questions?
Well, I would love to say I made up the question, would you rather be Batman or Superman? But whilst I didn't put it together, I'm pretty sure that question exists. Okay. But these other ones I did make up.
Okay.
Would you... Okay, so if you... Let's do this with Andrew.
Okay.
Andrew, if Claire... had a mouth under her underarm.
Are we still on this question? What's going on?
This is not a would you rather. I'm just prying.
Okay.
Would you kiss her on that mouth?
I don't know.
It's a good question.
It's a very difficult question.
I feel like that would need to be one of those things where everyone has them.
I don't think so, because she would still have a normal mouth.
Yeah, but you wouldn't think...
What if she was eating in the normal mouth?
Because then, yeah.
Whatever his mother was occupied.
No, I'd say eat under your armpit, please.
Okay, fair
or
enough.
You could talk with your mouth full.
Yeah.
That's quite handy. All right. Would you rather have a talking dog or be able to talk to dogs?
Oh, be able to talk to dogs. A talking dog would be so annoying. I mean, dogs are already quite annoying, like with all the barking. And if you could understand that, it would probably be more annoying.
But what happens
if you can talk to dogs, you can say, shut up, dog, and he'll understand you.
You can say, shut up, dog.
In fact,
anyway.
I can talk to dogs right now.
No.
When you say talk to dogs, you mean, and they talk back.
Yeah, but free-flowing conversation.
But only you can hear it, obviously.
Yeah. You know, in that Mel Gibson film where he can hear what people were saying, Passion of the Christ, it's like that, except it's not dogs.
Like Mowgli.
What do you mean, like Mowgli?
From the Jungle Book.
He
can talk to animals.
Could he?
Yes, that's the whole point.
I don't know if that is the whole point.
He grew up in the jungle, you can talk to animals.
That doesn't mean you can talk to animals.
I think he understands them, but I don't know if he can talk to them.
He understands their gestures.
I'm pretty sure they have conversations.
They're separated.
Don't they have conversations?
He's still a human.
Higher consciousness.
Yeah, but in the cartoon, can't he?
I don't know if I can take your cartoon knowledge over mine, considering you thought Daffy Duck was someone just now. All right.
I like the idea of the being able to talk to dogs, but not have them yap out loud all the time.
Yeah.
Because it would be interesting to hear what a dog is thinking, but it'd also not be interesting to hear what a dog's always thinking. It's nice that you can initiate this conversation with them. Do you hear what all dogs... When dogs bark in the world, are you hearing
hearing... Oh, look, mailman! Or...
That sounds great.
Haven't been fed yet. Hello!
How is that different to having a talking dog?
Yeah.
To one or all of them?
Yeah, how is that different?
So you can't talk back to the talking
because
dog.
Because...
So the one thing is a talking dog. The other thing is you can also talk back.
No, well, the one thing is, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so in scenario A, where you have a talking dog, you can talk back to him. It's like imagine you... and me, except I'm a dog. And you could have that kind of friendship. I could visit you during the day, be like, hey, how are you doing? And you could be like, hey, everyone, this is my dog. And I could go, hey, how are you doing, guys? And everyone
like
could hear
Griffin
me.
And Brian.
Basically. Yeah, kind of like that. Or Teacher's Pet or whatever animal-based cartoon you want to reference. The other one, though...
See, that would be quite uncomfortable for me because I wouldn't want to say, right, Simon, time to go take a poop.
But it might change our relationship. You might then... Because I can talk, I might watch films and be like, oh, okay, now I know how this works. I'm not going to ask you every time. Go, hey, let me out. Hey, oi, let me out. Oi, go, let me out. Oi, go, got a poo, let me out. Hey, go, poo.
Yeah, you see, just within like 3 seconds of it, it's quite annoying.
Yeah.
I think, although...
Imagine the money you could make, though. Just saying.
The fact of the
matter
is...
Everyone says you can make money with a talking dog. I don't see how that's like a thing.
What do you mean you don't see how that's... People queued up for ages to see like a woman with a slight beard.
Yeah.
I mean, if people are going to queue up for that, they're definitely going to queue up for a talking dog.
Worries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the problem here is the thing that's in the balance is you can hear one dog or you can hear all dogs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going for one dog.
Okay.
I have a talking dog.
And what do you think I would do?
I think you'd do the same. I think you'd prefer the one-on-one companionship than just being able to hear another species.
All right.
I'm going option two, and you option two.
Once again, Dylan is correct.
Oh, well.
I would rather
ridiculous. Stupid question. No idea what's going on.
Not a stupid question. Here we go. Last question in the would you rather for today. Would you rather be stuck on a desert island with the cast of Friends?
No.
Well, you haven't heard the other one.
Oh.
Or be stuck on a desert island right, with the cast of the Golden Girls?
Oh, well, easy. Desert island, cast of the Golden Girls. I think all of them but one is dead.
No, but they're alive. Or at least
they've been exhumed.
Someone's moving around their bodies.
Still more interesting.
Okay.
And right. The whole problem with the desert island is that you struggle to eat. Desert island.
Fair enough.
You can live.
I think I prefer the desert island.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you both go... Oh no, you're going for the desert island.
Desert island.
I think you would prefer a desert island,
is a desert island? Is it one that once you've eaten it all, there's no island left? Or does
no,
it replenish?
It's replenishing itself. There's
just
loads of
It's just a big chocolate
dessert.
Log.
Oh, that, I mean, that's an obvious answer.
That's how you try and get off it, I guess.
It's peace of mind.
But I think, Simon, I don't think you're a very big fan of Friends anymore, but I think you were... at a stage, as I was too,
mm-hmm.
and it depends what time in your life you get put in this awful situation.
It basically happens now. Straight off the podcast, I'm whisking you guys off.
That means no Matthew Perry, because he wasn't in that YouTube video where it was the cast reunited. I'm going Golden Girls.
All right, cool.
Yeah, you go.
She's like queen of the internet, old Betty White.
All right, I'm going for not what you guys said. I'll rather spend my last few days on this earth relaxing in the sun with Jennifer Aniston, trying to make her understand that her career is really going downhill and she must change her ways and become the innocent, lovely woman that I used to have of her in my mind.
Yeah.
And I don't mind foraging for food, because I think with dessert... you'd feel it'd be too sweet too soon. I think you would get tired of just having that sweetness in your mouth. You need the savory to enjoy the sweet.
Oh, you can still forage. Is there nothing else islandy about this island?
Well, no, it's like a gingerbread house except island form.
Yeah, everything there is dessert.
So there's no animals or birds.
I mean, there might be animals and birds, but they'll be the dessert forms.
Like zoo biscuits and jelly bears.
Like chocolate mousse would be just hanging out on the grassy knolls.
Okay, well, I think a trifle can be fairly substantial, so I'll be fine.
Cool. All right, well, at the end of that round, Dylan, you win Would You Rather. Well done!
Yay!
Is it a sketch show? No! It's a sketch no show!
What's happening here for people who are listening to episode 16 first, because they're weird, is I'm drawing a thing over a series of weeks. It's the view I have from Simon's window.
Good view.
It's a great view, but today I've opened up my page upside down, and I think I'm going to roll with it.
Interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's
Maverick.
I'm like those Mexican artists who paint with their feet, except, you know, nothing like that and have no talent.
Or you can be like one of those people that do the paintings upside down, like by splotching the paint on, and then you turn around
reveal.
And it's either Jesus or Elvis or someone else.
Yeah. A king of some kind.
Yeah.
Currently, it looks like some sort of intestinal tract operation.
Hectic.
Yeah.
That's, would you go up to Picasso? No, because he's dead.
No, I mean, from an upside down view.
Would you say, look, what you're doing looks like...
That house upside down. That house upside down looks like a robot bunny.
I think you would have gone up to Picasso and been like, mate, what are you doing? Come on.
Oh, you reckon?
Yeah, you wouldn't have looked at that and gone, oh, that's going to be famous. You would be like... That's a bit blocky.
You know what? I think I just made my first mistake on this thing.
Okay.
Really? I've put a window in there, but...
There's no
window there. That
I mean, artistic's
tiles.
License, though.
It's a roof.
But if it's tiles, I can probably...
Just
no, they'll
split
have
it
to
up.
Go that way, don't they?
Yeah, but they do anyway.
Is this good listening radio? That's what I want to know.
Look, it's as good listening radio as Andrew telling us that he has this picture of this... I don't know, dried cockroach that was in his jungle notes.
Yeah.
Listen, that's a relatable story. Everyone's had one of those.
No one's drawn a picture, Andrew.
On a couple of occasions, I've heard people, I don't know, blow our own here, but a couple of people have said, oh, I really like the podcast. I like this. I love the quiz, for example.
Yeah.
No one's really come up to me and said, oh, I can't wait. Oh, you didn't do Sketch No Show last week.
Yeah,
come on.
I'm guessing this is the part of the podcast where people that are pressed for time, they go, like, fast forward 30 seconds, that kind of thing, until they hear us speaking about something else. I have recently heard that one of our really good friends and a Streep legend, but a legend in his own right, Hugh Lashbrook, who helped us design our first website and in many ways was responsible for some of the things we got to do and have done.
Yeah.
He apparently listens to this podcast in 1.5 speed.
Which, yeah, he's a busy man. He's got stuff to do.
Well, I feel like because of that, we should say a couple of sentences really quickly to make it really hard for him to hear what we said.
Okay.
Hey, let's work, I really like you.
Yeah. I was thinking about using the 2B, but now I'm going to use this one.
Yeah. See how you like that?
Hey, Hugh.
I don't think it works like that. That's very good. Okay. Well, I've put in some tiles. We'll finish this in many, many weeks to come.
Come inside the Brother Street Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Welcome to the Warehouse of Rejected Ideas.
Rejected!
This is where we bring ideas forward, and it's a little bit confusing because we want them to be good, but we also want them to be so bad that they'd be rejected. This week, we're looking at rejected board games. Who's got something for me?
So I've got an idea. Okay. What is the worst bit about playing a board game? Well,
hanging out
I'll
with friends.
Tell you before you say anything. It's the setting up and the packing away.
That's true.
Hey, what a nightmare. Putting all the pieces on the board.
Yeah.
Taking off all of the pieces off the
setting
board.
Up and packing away.
Yeah,
works.
No.
Cards, shuffling the cards.
Okay. Collecting cards that need to be in separate piles that somebody's just stuffed into one big pile.
Exactly.
That's very annoying.
So my board game is a board game about setting up board games.
What?
Okay.
This is rejected ideas,
yes,
remember?
Being rejected
the
ideas.
The worst board game ever. All
and
right.
then... And so you have to set up the board game in the game. And the the first person to set up their board game correctly and pack it away correctly will win.
You know that I'm pretty sure there's got to be something like this, the way that like board games have gone.
Well, I know, that's what's really hard to think of.
Mousetrap was essentially all about the setup. Like if you actually managed to set Mousetrap up correctly, then that was pretty much you've won the
that's
game.
That's true.
Except that at no point during the setup were you excited about the setup.
That's true.
Like, yo, that game was annoying. It took so long and for nothing.
Did you ever play the cricket board game?
Yes.
The one where you actually had men.
Yes,
and
yes.
It's so weird.
It falls into the same category of like really long setup.
Why was that a game? It doesn't make sense. I'd reject that if I could.
The bowling. It's just like put a little ball in the hand and rolls down a thing.
But it rolls down a huge thing. It's like big long gutter. Oh, man. Very strange. Anyway.
What's your game called?
I don't have a name for it.
That's interesting.
Setup. Call it Setup.
Yeah,
Setup. I mean, it's not a funny name, but it's descriptive.
Yeah, that's true.
How many players?
Hey, who cares? 10.
Tell me this. Is there a board on which you play, as in, like, think, like...
Yeah, because you...
Like
a
big twister board, almost, and each one's got their own space to build.
That's
so the board is a table.
That's how bad this game is, is that... To play the game of setting up the game, you have to set up the game first and then pack away the game.
Not only does this sound like it should be a rejected board game, I think this should be a sketch that you should write and film because it sounds really fun.
Okay, that's good. That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I like it. Look, I think it's a good idea and a bad idea at the same time, which is exactly what this is meant to be.
Yeah.
So well done, but badly done.
Rejected.
Well, I've got another idea.
Oh, you brought two.
Yeah, it's a reality show. Okay, so it's not. So
yeah,
I mean, it's about
board games.
Yeah, it's about board games,
right?
Okay. A real life Monopoly, where you get a bunch of really rich people.
That is just real life. You don't have
then,
to put Monopoly.
And then
on
you
it.
Make them like play on a Monopoly
you make
board.
Make them earn money and have a career.
Yeah,
and
no,
buy
they have
houses.
To play Monopoly like on the Monopoly board, but then actually buy the properties that they land on in real life.
Okay.
And then if they land on somebody else's property, they have to go there and stay there and pay the hotel fees.
Sounds like a very long game. Like the actual Monopoly, actually. It'll probably take more or less the same amount of time.
Probably ruin less friendships than the real game.
What do you think? Do you think people would like that? Do you think people would watch that?
So are the actual properties as in...
Like they'll have to go and buy Park Avenue.
Park Avenue, et cetera. And go to jail, real jail?
I didn't think of the jail. That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
Why not?
Oh, you'd have to have the jail.
Yeah, you'd have to send them to jail. For why do they get sent to jail?
I'd definitely watch that. That's not a rejected...
Yeah, that's like...
reality show. That's a rejected thing for people... to enter that. I wouldn't suggest entering this thing unless they gave you a massive budget. Again, this could be really good.
Yeah,
it'd be one of those shows where there's enough advertisers on board and they go, we've given three teams, and you probably need more than that, $1 million each. Yeah. Who will be Monopoly Man? Who would play the Monopoly Man? Isn't that like the host of Monopoly, the live board show?
yeah. Who? It would be like
Danny DeVito.
Like Danny DeVito.
Were you thinking DeVito?
Yeah.
He would be good.
Sweet.
Robert De Niro would also work.
Yeah. Someone rich. Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Too soon.
Well, I can't reject this one. I'm sorry. Oh, okay, it's too good. There's too much good about it.
I'm rejecting it. It fits in the same category as golf for me, where it would just take too long to watch. So
but it's a series.
So yeah, but I mean,
that's like saying that about anything.
Yeah.
Fair enough. This takes time to watch.
You changed my mind.
Yay.
I'm not approving it.
Oh no,
because I'm fickle.
Sweet.
All right. Well, I've got an idea. It's so we're trying to think of rejected ideas.
That's correct.
So you'll get out the board. Your counters aren't really like proper counters. It's like a phone. So you get like an old school phone that, like, not a cell phone. We're not that modern. We wanted to feel old school, feel like a homely game, you know? Right. So it's like one of those old school, like, it has a dial that's tick, 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 tick around and everything, and like the little rubber connected to the thing. Anyway, so that sits in front of you and sits in front of the player that's sitting next to you. And what you do is you'll have a card. And that card on it will have a problem that you need sorted out,
mm-hmm.
normally with your phone itself. So you'll dial then this company in imagination land. And this company, you won't ever get through to this company because you'll then have to pick up another card and they might have like a task that you have to do that delays. It's basically, this game is called On Hold. And and basically whoever gets to be on hold for the longest period of time wins the game. So it lasts a very long time.
Well, I wouldn't watch it then.
You kind of will pick up another card and be like, oh, this fault has now occurred, so you have to sort this out. And then that's good. You want that. You want to stay on the line as long as possible.
Could there be like a cheesy soundtrack playing on repeat?
Oh, it comes with the game.
Does
it's
it? Okay.
A little wind-up music box.
Brilliant.
This goes, do-do-do-do. Do, 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 do.
Can it occasionally cut out to explain the rules?
Definitely, that's what it does. So, what are you thinking? On Hold, that's a great game to not be a game.
So bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's two players.
Well, you know what? It depends if you...
Is it a whole country of players?
Can you win the game? Because a game, generally, you need to be able to win the game.
And not just
outlast your competitors.
No, you win if you do outlast your competitors.
But that won't be satisfying for diehard on hold fans.
What do you mean it won't be satisfying?
Because they would want to to get to that consultant.
Yeah, well you will eventually get there.
No, the people who get to the consultant are dropping off.
Yeah. So you've got to pick up cards that make you stay on hold longer.
Oh, I see. You're thematically this is all wrong because that would never happen.
Hello,
you would never stay
you?
On hold
no.
for longer. You need to base this game from the position of the people that are that are putting the people on hold.
Don't
so you need to keep the person on hold for as long as possible.
And you don't tell me how to play my game.
Listen here, I know board games, and look, I'm telling you, it needs to be
Andrew,
the other way around.
I know that one of the most frustrating moments in human life is being on hold, and so the most frustrating board game, the most rejected board game would be a board game where you have to be on hold permanently.
Rejected.
It's rejected.
Yes! I have success!
I saw the film Jumanji in the 90s and thought that was very cool.
Yeah.
I wanted to play the game because I was young and foolish.
Yeah.
There was a board game making class once in, I don't know, grade 6 or some.
Well, like science, geography, maths, board game making.
Yeah. Well, it was probably like something to do with art or
technology.
History. I don't know. But I made something that was basically Jumanji and I think it got a good mark because the teacher hadn't seen Jumanji and thought it was a fantastic idea.
How did you get the game to release wild animals?
Little cards.
How did you get the monkeys to actually appear?
I didn't. This was the problem.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, it was a very lame, watered down version of the game. But when thinking about rejected board games, I have to say that it's a bad idea. What's that? Who are those people who bring out board games? MB?
Hasbro.
Oh, Hasbro and Mattel and all you other people to bring out an actual working Jumanji game. Don't do it. I know it's tempting. I know that you think people want it, but they don't.
But you got a good mark, though, so...
That was the watered down version. That wasn't dangerous.
Jumanji
is a terrible game. It's a fun movie, but it's a terrible game, and here's why. Those drums go off at all times of the night. Like, I can't sleep when there's, you know, a mosquito in the room. And it just gets louder until it's like an annoying, clingy friend that's going, come play with me, come play with me, come play with me, come play with me. And then silence as you go, okay, fine. So that's number one. It keeps you up at night.
Okay.
Terrible game.
Yeah.
Number two, incredibly selfish to play because the animals that inevitably will somehow be conjured into life seem to wreak havoc on the town and its people almost more so than the people who are playing it, if you know, because they're aware of what's going on. They know how to fool these things. But your average Joe, he's just gone to the bakery. Suddenly there's a stampede.
Yeah, that's true.
That is selfish, I would say.
It's not good.
And thirdly, you know, you're just not going to survive in the jungle as they would have you believe that young Alan Parrish did when he went in there for 26 years. It's not likely. You wouldn't survive 26 days.
I think I might.
How?
Well, for starters, I've got Jennifer Aniston with me, and she's going to help. I've got Phoebe Boucher.
Andrew, you know a lot about Jungle Crunch. What would you do to survive in the Jumanji jungle?
I would find whoever's playing those drums and try to get them to get me out of there. If they've got drums, they've got access to a music equipment store. Maybe, you know.
I don't think so. I think they've gone full on animal skins, pulled over the ends of logs.
Well, even that's more skills than I have. I've never pulled them.
Exactly. You're going to die in Jumanji or die in the real world when you play Jumanji.
Probably.
And I'm rejecting it because I'm hosting.
Yeah, it's rejected.
Ooh, what's that?
The quiz! This week, it's George Clooney quiz.
Oh, my word. I've waited 16 episodes for this.
I know everything there is to know about George Clooney. Test me.
Have you guys heard of him?
He's going to test you. Have you heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. He was a Batman.
Do the quiz.
Okay, quiz.
He's going to give away all the answers.
We're going to start with, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou One.
Ooh.
And the first question is...
Yeah.
For 18 years, George had a pet called Max. But what was he?
Beep. Like an iguana. Or like one of those like lizardy creatures. Chameleon.
Okay. Okay. Yes.
Tortoise?
Incorrect.
Beep. Kitten.
Incorrect.
A kitten for 18 years. At some point, a kitten becomes a cat in 18 years. Surely.
George is cruel. He just had it.
A dragon?
Suspended.
Isn't kind of something quite weird?
No. Like well, I mean, it's weird, but it's not like weird. No.
Beep. Monkey.
No. It's more agricultural.
Horse. Beep a cow.
No.
Beep a bison.
A pig.
Yes. Can you be more specific?
A male pig.
Beep a bison. I'll say it again in case you didn't hear me.
I'm going to give Dylan the points. Yeah. It was a pot-bellied pig.
Yeah, that's a pig.
A black pot-bellied pig.
Yeah, that would be...
Aww.
You don't have to say it as if you're doing him a favor. He did say the right answer.
He did, yeah. I wanted to see if he could get pot-bellied. I don't know if that was in your lexicon.
It can be, but you'd have to have... I'd have gone... For boar and sow and wild hog and all these things.
Wow, you've got a wide lexicon when it comes to pigs. Okay, well, question two. He tried out for a position on the Cincinnati Reds in 1977, and he did not pass the first round. But what sport was this?
Beep, baseball.
Is the right answer. Well done.
Thank you.
He obviously wasn't that good. He was good, but not that good.
Yeah.
Okay. His father was a TV host, but what achievement did his mother have?
Beep.
Yes.
Famous cook.
No.
Nobel Peace Prize.
No.
Beep. An author.
No. This is a much lower achievement. Some might
gave
think.
Gave birth to at least one child.
Beep. High jump in junior school.
I don't know where I rate that on the scale.
Highly. Very highly.
Very highly, yeah.
The amount of work and effort that goes into it.
Beep. She won the lotto, but like only with like three numbers or something.
No. She came first in this competition. No.
Beep. She came first in Noot for Noot.
No.
Miss America kind of
I'm going to give pageant. You that was a beauty pageant.
Beauty pageant. Yeah. I was going to say that next, though. So, checks new. Half Dylan point. There. Thank okay. you. Half point to Simon. Yay! Half point to Simon.
In his world. Question four. While he was a struggling actor in L.A., he lived at a friend's house. But which room did he live in?
Beep. He lived
Dylan actually beeped first, so...
Kitchen.
Incorrect.
Beep. Under the stairs.
What would you call that?
You would call that the room under the stairs, the Harry Potter room.
Nah.
Nope.
Was he in the attic?
No.
Beep the loft.
No.
The one that goes downstairs. Basement.
Come on, what would you...
The basement.
The
janitor's closet.
Actually, you know what? It's not even that room.
Oh,
I've led you down a wrong...
The conservatory.
But it's kind of similar to that.
Beep
sort
the garage.
Of, sort of away, maybe in the bedroom.
The pantry.
Maybe in the bedroom, kind of.
Beep the walk-in closet.
Is the right answer, Simon. Well done. Well done. Okay. We're moving on to round two.
Hold on, don't move on. What do you mean he lived in a walk-in closet?
Apparently he lives in a closet.
That's interesting.
At what stage did he come out of the closet?
I don't know. Question. Round two.
And the Batman.
Filming good.
Film, I think.
Which film was he not in?
Here we go. At last.
He wasn't
one
in Batman vs. Superman.
Okay, here we go. So, Combat Academy.
Yep.
Return of the Tomatoes. Red Surf. Rewrite for Murder. Jack's Place.
Man.
Now, I got a question.
Yeah.
You gotta be honest.
Okay.
If you remove one word from the title, does that count? Because if he's in something called The Return of the Killer Tomatoes,
yeah.
But you've said Return of the Tomatoes,
yeah.
Would you...
I'm gonna go
for the Return
turns
of the Tomatoes.
Out, turns out I've beeped in, though.
Okay.
Wasn't he in Return of the Killer Tomatoes?
Simon, do you want to guess?
So he was not in Return of the Tomatoes because he's in Return of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
That's my answer.
So you guys are both right.
Doesn't beep.
What? Interesting.
Where's the sanctity of the beeper for you?
Well, where's the sanctity of
remember,
not stealing someone else's answer?
I would like
very
to say,
blatantly.
This is not a beeping round because because you both guess, remember? I always wait for both guesses.
That's true.
So
I didn't guess. I was told.
Yeah. Well, I hope you feel...
Yeah, you worked it out.
Yeah.
I hope you feel happy stealing my answer.
You should have just guessed.
Detective work to get that one.
Well, you used my detective work.
I heard with my ear and put it together with my brain.
He's like copying homework. I hope you're happy.
Okay.
I used to do that too.
Moving on to round three.
Please get double points
for
that.
No, sorry. Round three. Finish the quote.
Okay, teacher.
Finish the quote. We've got to hurry up with this.
All right.
Okay.
We don't have to hurry up. I've got all day to get that point.
Fine. The first quote is, "You can't legislate good..."
Beep.
Dylan beeped.
Acting?
No.
You was going to say acting.
I was going to say acting. Scripts or movies.
No, it's actually nothing to... It's more like... what would you say? Something has good...
Beep morals.
No.
Something has good, and
well,
that's
like,
the clue.
Like, oh, you
beep
have
vibes.
Such... You have such good...
Beep aura.
You're
personality.
Oh, I like your movie choice. You have such good...
taste.
Beep is the right answer.
Well, taste. Then. Beep taste. Can I just do what Dylan does?
Right. The second quote is, "Directing is really exciting. In the end, it's much more fun to be the..."
Beep director.
I mean, yeah, but
man
no.
in charge.
No, it, I mean,
beep editor.
So it's he's using a metaphor, and
creator.
It is to be the metaphor is to be the director instead of the actor, but he's not saying that. He's using a metaphor, an artistic metaphor,
which is what I'm saying, creator instead.
No,
of
but
the,
it's an artistic metaphor.
And the painter
instead of the
artist. Instead of the canvas.
Well, Dylan gets it. Instead, the painter instead of the paint.
Paint.
Yeah.
I do get there eventually.
You do get there.
But
every word
what,
in the book.
You didn't have paint in the original thing, though.
I didn't. He got it.
Wait, so what was the actual quote?
The quote was, "Directing is really exciting. In the end, it's more fun to be the painter than the paint."
Oh, so the whole thing was painter than the paint.
Yeah.
Ah, gotcha.
Right. The last quote is, "It's impossible for me to make a bad movie out of a good script. But I can't make a..."
Beep. Good movie out of a bad script.
Is the right answer. Well then, Simon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take the obvious ones, the crumbs.
The last round, round four, Distant Relative. And this week's Distant Relative is on pot-bellied pigs.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, question one.
Distant Relative.
To do with pot-bellied pigs.
Do you not have time to prepare this quiz?
Why? What's wrong with pot-bellied pigs?
Bit of cheek there from Simon.
Yeah. I know. Ridiculous. Okay. Question one. What human functional accessory would be helpful to these pigs?
Beep. Deodorant.
I mean, I guess it would, but that's not the right answer.
Crutches?
No.
Maybe they struggle to walk.
Maybe. Beep. They are short, but
what
no.
What about false teeth?
No.
Human what? Accessory?
Functional human accessory.
Sunglasses.
Sunglasses?
Beep. Yeah.
Shoes.
A hat?
I'm going to give it to Dylan, but it's glasses. It's just they have bad eyesight.
I said glasses.
Well, sunglasses are not
I
for good eyesight.
I said the word glasses.
If anything, if you've got bad eyesight and put sunglasses on, it's probably going to be worse.
I said the word
beep,
glasses.
Sunglasses.
It's still wrong.
I mean, beep glasses.
For that, I'm sorry. Okay, question two. What affectionate action might be construed by the pig as hostile?
Beep, headbutting.
How is that affectionate?
Kissing.
Is incorrect.
Hugging?
Beep. Is the right answer. Yeah, apparently.
Have you not seen me hug?
Yeah, it goes all in.
Apparently lifting or hugging is hostile, so don't do it.
Okay. I'm never going to come into contact with a pot-pillied pig.
Yeah, I don't hang out with George Clooney enough.
This advice is wasted on me.
And the final question is, what don't they have which makes them sun-sensitive?
Beep.
Something with an M.
I was hoping you were going to say sunglasses.
Beep. Melatonin.
Something like that. What? Melanin.
No.
Melanin.
No.
Skin.
Sorry. Like hair and fur and stuff.
Is the right answer. Well done. And I can conclude.
We don't have to read out the amount of points Dylan got.
You can read out how many.
We can just say no. We can just say he won.
Percentage
Dylan,
wise,
it just feels Dylan like won the quiz with 8 points, and Simon came second.
Yeah, that's good.
Well done, Dylan.
Listeners at home, if you're paying close attention, you're like 7.5. But just, you know, there you have it. Well, people, if you enjoy this episode, then tell your friends to listen, because it's always good to have listeners. If you didn't enjoy this episode, then it's really unlikely that you made it to 1 hour into this thing. Yeah. So,
although the quiz is the very best part.
That is true. I'm guessing Hugh just probably skips all the way to the quiz.
Yeah.
And then plays that in just normal time.
Or slow down to be an hour.
I want this to last forever.
Good stuff.
Bye.
Bye.